This is the Good Neighbor Podcast, the place where local businesses and neighbors come together. Here's your host, Martin Drummond.
Well, good morning, everyone. We look forward to the opportunity to have another wonderful guest on the Good Neighbor Podcast this morning. And we have the privilege of talking with Good Neighbor Nicole Clark, who's with the Adult and Pediatric Institute. Nicole, how are you feeling this morning?
Hi, Martin. Thank you for having me on. I'm feeling really good and really excited to speak with you and let people know more about us.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to do just that. I know I'm going to learn a lot. I know our listeners are going to learn a lot, and that can maybe help them help others in the future by connecting them with you. So tell us a little bit about the Adult and Pediatric Institute. How came into being and how you connected with it?
Sure. So we are a comprehensive psychiatric practice. We see all ages from ages 2 years old all the way up to 65 years old, sometimes older depending on the cases. My partner and the co-founder is Dr. Marielle Paralatisi Morales. She goes by Dr. P because her name is a little bit of a mouthful. And we had met because my background is as a psychiatric mental health registered nurse and a trauma nurse. And I've been doing that for about 18 years, but I have two special needs girls and my daughters are 11 and 7 and they both have autism. And then my 7-year-old also has dyslexia. And so when I got them diagnosed and when I was going down that path with them of diagnosis and getting them services, I realized that this was a population that I felt like I could make a difference in. And then fast forward, I met Dr. P and she is has the same mindset where she genuinely just wants to help. And so we created the Adult and Pediatric Institute. It's a concierge psychiatric practice, but not with all the concierge prices per se. And we offer a multitude of different services. We offer autism evaluations, psychiatric evaluations, medication management, and talk therapy through a number of different modalities, including telehealth, in-person in our clinic, sometimes even through a phone call, depending on what the client needs.
Wow, that's impressive. I haven't even gotten into the interview and I'm already like just thinking, wow.
Thank you.
There are many different life concerns that prompt people to seek the help of professional licensed counselors. Can you tell us about the types of counseling you and your team provide locally? You've touched on it earlier, but the whole concept of counseling and psychiatry and psychology, to the average person, it's like, what is all that? So tell us maybe a little bit more detail. What are you doing? How you help people?
Sure. Yeah, it can get really confusing because there's a lot of different titles and different modalities and different types of licensure. And can this person do this? But why can't they do that? Or can they do that? And so it can get really confusing and you can kind of go down a little bit of a rabbit hole with it. So I'll simplify it here. Psychiatrist is a medical doctor. That is your highest level, right? They went to medical school. Dr. P did her specialty training at Columbia University in child, adolescent, and adult psychiatry. So a psychiatrist, Dr. P, can write prescriptions for medications. She can diagnose people with a multitude of different medical diagnoses. A psychologist is multiple different levels, right? They could be a master's level psychologist or they could be a doctorate level psychologist. The key there is that they're a licensed clinical psychologist. And in my world, in our world, those are the people that they go to school specifically for talk therapy. Right? They want to be able to do counseling. They want to be able to do the different types of therapy, whether it's CBT therapy, which is cognitive behavioral therapy, different types of therapy. They can also diagnose certain mental health disorders within their scope. And so it's still a medical diagnosis. And in some ways, they can do certain testing that other people can't. So they can do certain psychological testing for dyslexia, for IQ, things like that, that other people can't. So with our practice, we have Dr. P sees our clients. As we grow, we'll be bringing on a PsyD, which is a doctorate in psychology, licensed clinical psychologist. But right now, Dr. P is the one mainly seeing the clients. And a lot of what she does, it's pretty rare for a psychiatrist to also do the talk therapy component, but she loves it. She gets to know her clients. She doesn't immediately jump to medications. Once she gets to know the client, if there is a better treatment or a better prescribed therapy, she will go that route before she just writes a script and says, okay, here's some Lexapro. That's kind of not how we practice. We really get to know our clients. So it's really, truly individualized.
I love learning, and you're helping me to learn, and I very much appreciate it. Nicole, what are a couple of myths or misconceptions that people might have about going to a counselor or a psychologist or psychiatrist? What are some fallacies that people might have?
Sure. I think that question itself could take up an entire podcast. So I'm going to touch on just some of the really big ones. I think one of the fears of going to a psychiatrist or a psychologist, one, that there's a stigma, right? I can tell you the most brilliant minds in the world have therapists and they see psychologists and psychiatrists, right? It's a place where it can help you process what's going on. Another big myth is that people will find out. So one of the benefits to us being concierge, we do not accept any insurance, but that was a very intentional decision. And one of the reasons why is because we want the client to know that it's about them. It's not about what the insurance company tells us to do, right? It's about the client. There are certain laws we have to follow, DEA laws, medical board laws, nursing board laws, but we don't have to play by insurance rules. So if a client wants to come and see us and they want it to be confidential, their information is not going into United Healthcare's database. Their information is not being sent over to Blue Cross Blue Shield with their diagnosis code. It's between us and the client. No one has to know. Obviously within rules, right? So if someone tells us that they're going to hurt themselves, there are certain caveats there that we have to follow, board rules and ethical rules. But it's really private and no one has to know that they're even talking to us if they don't want them to know. Another misconception is that it costs a fortune. It really doesn't, right? There's a shift in healthcare today where psychiatrists tend to get into this industry because they really just want to help people. It's one of the hardest jobs you'll ever do, but they want to help people. When they have to follow insurance rules, they have to help people within that very small time period that the insurance tells them they're allowed to have. You know, how do you sit down with someone and talk about their deepest, darkest traumas and dig into the root of the problem in 30 minutes and then make an educated and ethical treatment recommendation? It's just not enough time. So there's a big shift in the industry where psychiatrists are going private practice on their own and they're not accepting insurance because they want to be able to spend as much time with the client as the client needs. Our standard appointments are about an hour long. We'll go up to 2 hours depending on what that client needs from us. And so when you look at the grand scheme of things, you look at the financial picture of it all. When you're paying co-payments, you're paying deductibles for that 30 minutes. What we're offering becomes much more affordable because you can get more accomplished with less visits because they're longer visits. They're individualized than what you can going, sometimes once a week to that overwhelmed you know, facility that accepts every insurance under the sun, where they're going to give you 15 to 30 minutes of their time.
Mm-hmm. You know, you were talking about the misconceptions and stereotyping and the presumptions people make why they don't seek help. You know, our world is very brutal in terms of how people are predisposed sometimes to devalue others. So someone, I'm not going in there. I'm not crazy. But when in reality, the crazy thing is not solving the issue. And then it's just, you keep gravel in your gears and you just can't operate smoothly. So in layperson's terms, what are some of the indicators that a person might need more specialized help than what they can get off of a YouTube video or a TED Talk?
Sure. First of all, I love TED Talks and I love YouTube, right? They have their place. But unfortunately with YouTubes and TED Talks is it feeds into the isolation that we've kind of created for ourselves in society, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. It's not individualized. We scroll through Facebook or Instagram or TikTok or whatever the different new ones are that are out there, YouTube, and we're being overloaded with information all the time. Information about everything under the sun, right? Maybe it's information about what he's wearing or what their family vacation was. And we get this false sense of belonging, but it's not a realistic sense. And I know we've talked about this in our society, and we're talking about this more, and I think we need to talk about it more, of we're missing that human connection. We're missing that talking to another human being. And so we're seeing rates of depression, sadness, anxiety, childhood mental health, pediatric mental health issues. We're seeing rates of all of this skyrocket. And so I think a lot of people think, oh my gosh, I need to be depressed to the point where I can't get out of bed before I have to call someone because I don't want to be seen as weak. That's not the case. If you're waiting till it's that point, there's possibly a good chunk of your life that you've maybe missed out on, right? Because you're so focused, you're sad and you can't get out of bed. Don't wait till it gets to that point. Routine therapy, routine management of your mental health is far better than waiting until there's a crisis to deal with, right? It gives you someone to process, a human being that's listening to you, right? That TED Talk is great to watch and they're entertaining, but they're not talking back to you. They're not talking to you specifically about why all of a sudden you were driving down the street and you felt overwhelmed sadness. They're not talking to you. They're not answering your questions about that. Regular mental health therapy and mental health counseling, it can help you process your day-to-day feelings, what's being thrown at you all day, every day, and help you develop boundaries for a healthier form of living. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's important. You go to the doctor and you get your wellness checkups, right? Every year, hopefully you are, and you're doing your annual physical every year. I think that it's important to incorporate mental health wellness into that regular routine check-in, right? Check in with a provider, check in with yourself, learning coping strategies, learning mindfulness strategies, things like that. So I kind of say my rule of thumb is if you haven't seen a therapist yet, you should probably look into it. Even if it's a one-off session or once a year, I mean, that's normally not very effective once a year, right? But hey, who knows? Maybe just check in with someone. Give it mm-hmm. a try. See what you think about it, right? Be open to it. If it's not for you, it's not for you. That's okay. Mm-hmm. But be open to it, to check in with someone.
Nicole, how did you get started in this line of work?
Oh boy. So I started off very, very young in the military. I was 17 when I joined the Navy, and I was a corpsman in the Navy, and I was stationed out in San Diego with Marines. And then I was on an aircraft carrier for 3.5 years and did 3 tours over in the Persian Gulf. And I fell in love with trauma there, but I also fell in love with psych. You know, there it's when you're put into a high stress situation for a prolonged period of time, there's an effect of that, right? You can't be under that much stress and for a long period of time without there being some sort of psychological and physical effect. And so I started to see it. And it wasn't until I got out of the military that my eyes kind of opened up to the effects of untreated long-term psychological stress. And I, you know, I sort of fell in love with psych. I used to work in the ER. I used to work in a Baker Act receiving hospital, and I loved psych, but I also loved peds. And I've done peds trauma in my career. And then when I saw what was going on with my own girls, with my own kids, and how much I struggled to find providers, to find someone that would do the comprehensive autism diagnosis that my insurance was telling me I needed in order to get them this life-saving therapy that their doctor said they needed. And it was a very long journey and it was arduous and I was in the field and I was struggling. And so I looked at that and all I could think was, what does a lay person feel? I'm working in the field. I'm working in high-level psychiatric hospital, administrative leadership, nursing positions. I'm doing this every single day and I'm struggling. How does a mom not in the field, or a dad not in the field, or a grandparent not in the field? How are they navigating this? And so, you know, I shifted my focus, and that is really our goal, is to prevent other parents from having to go through what I went through with my own kids, the struggles I went through and the wait list that I went through. And whether they're a client of ours or not, you know, there's a lot of parents that call that I'll have an hour long conversation with. They will never become a client of ours, right? Maybe they don't have the means to pay. That's fine. Even if they're not a client, I'm going to give them my time because people didn't give me their time when I called. A lot of the times it was, sorry, we can't help you, or sorry, we don't do that. Good luck. Hang up, right? They don't deserve that. Parents don't deserve that. It's hard enough being a parent in today's age as it is. They don't deserve to be hung up on or ignored or brushed off. And so, yeah, that's our big goal, is to help people find a path, even if it's not with us. Get them on the phone with a human being who might be able to help them, right? Get them going down the right path, because it's just exhausting otherwise. And I know that personally.
Yeah, it is. We'll talk later about a situation I've encountered, which is exactly what you're talking about. When it comes to choosing counseling practice, can you briefly give us three things they should keep in mind when they're making a choice?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think it depends on, one, what are the services that that practice offers? If you're looking for diagnostic services, for instance, you want to make sure that that's something that they offer. Two is, what are their credentials? So we see a lot of clients that come to us because they had gotten, let's say, an autism evaluation done by another provider, but when they went to go take that evaluation to get aftercare services, ABA therapy, school-based services, the diagnosis and the report was not accepted by their insurance or by the school board. So making sure that whomever you're seeing is licensed in to do whatever it is that you're asking them to do. And then three, I think availability is really important, right? Admissions teams are really good about being like, oh no, we have no waiting list. We'll get you in right now. But then when it really comes down to it, the provider is booked out a month, you know, or you get the one appointment and then there's not really another follow-up appointment for 3 months. So really asking good, solid questions about what their availability is to make sure that they can meet your needs, what you're looking for. Maybe you're only looking for once every 3 months. That's okay, right? But if you're looking for weekly, bi-weekly sessions, you probably want to make sure that that's something that they can handle.
All right. When you're not working, Nicole, what do you do for fun and relaxation?
Yeah. So, you know, that's something that I've had to work on myself, right? Is boundaries. There was a period of my life that I was never not working. And I had to learn how to develop healthier boundaries. So I ride horses. I have ridden horses since I was a little kid growing up down in South Florida in Broward County. I ride horses. My seven-year-old also loves horses. That's my little equestrian girl. And so I spend a lot of time taking her to lessons and doing horse stuff with her. My 11-year-old loves guitar. And so she's learning to practice. And so just spending time with kids, spending time with my husband. We love traveling. We don't get to do it nearly as much as I'd like, but we do love traveling. And so, yeah, just really spending time with my animals and my kids, that's what, and my husband, that's what grounds me. That's where I find who I really want to be in life. And then I can roll that over into my personal life.
That's good. That's good. Your information's been so valuable, Nicole. What, if you had to define one most important thing you'd want our listeners to know about your counseling practice, what would it be?
That we care, right? That we just care. We care about our clients. We care about the people in our world. We want people to feel like they are getting their money's worth with us. It's their hard-earned money. And we want them to find value in our services because we just care.
That's good. It doesn't matter how many tools you have in the toolbox if you don't care if the car is broken down.
Yeah.
How can listeners contact the Adult and Pediatric Institute, whether it be online or through phone? Can you give that information to our listeners?
Yeah, absolutely. So they can check us out on our website. It's pedsinstitute.com. So that's PEDS, short for pediatrics, institute.com. That's where they can kind of learn about us. They can contact us directly through the website. It comes directly to me. Or they can give us a call at 844-550-PEDS. So it's 7337. If they press option one, it comes directly to my cell phone. You can also get in touch with Dr. P that way. And yeah, I mean, most people out there have my cell phone number. If you've called me once, I'm very happy to give you my cell phone number because that's the level of care that we provide. So mm-hmm. When in doubt, I'm not going to post it on here, just heaven forbid, right? Who knows?
Right.
And I get a lot of spam calls, but I always answer my phone because it might be a client in need or, mm-hmm. you know, another a therapist or another company looking for services for their client, and they just need me to direct them in the right place, right direction.
That's good. I want to thank everybody who's going to be listening to this show. I know that they're going to feel, as I do, that it was time very well spent. And I very much appreciate it. And I want to thank good neighbor Nicole Clark of the Adult and Pediatric Institute for helping us learn some very important things, whether it might be help that we need or the help of somebody we know is needed. And it's just going to be great to have this resource. And again, thank you so much, Nicole. This has been just a wonderful interview, and I've learned so much.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah. So everybody have a great day, and I encourage you to share this podcast with your friends. See y'all later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Good Neighbor Podcast, River Living. To nominate your favorite local businesses to be featured on the show, go to gnpriverliving.com. That's gnpriverliving.com. Or call 772-247-6782.